Hello, Oasis.
Hey!
Hello.
We'll cut that pause out. It'll be way more seamless in post. I know a guy. They'll do the thing.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. My skills are very low when it comes to editing.
Yeah, but we're learning.
But yeah.
Slowly and surely.
Yeah. And one of the things we'll be doing this summer is taking a break so I can learn how to edit.
There you go.
Yeah, but actually, though.
Yeah, actually, we're going to take a break this summer. We've enjoyed doing the podcast and having episodes, but we just want to take a break this summer to hear more about what we can do. And so we'll kick back on fall, on the fall kickoff. We'll restart our podcast back then.
Yeah.
But we're going to take this summer to kind of have some time for us to not have to record every Tuesday at 2 p.m. in a dark, dreary room in the beautiful summer, but also just get more topics going and seeing how things go.
Yeah. So it's the end.
Yeah.
Before we start again.
You sing a song?
No, I don't know a song with that one.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I got my jingle out before the podcast started.
As we go.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah, I think it's smart, right? Take a little break. You got the season of summer is a good wrestle season transitioning into summer.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of transitions.
Yeah, speaking of transitions, that's what we're talking about today.
That's great.
Because transitions, when things end, there's always something beginning. And so some of you listening, you are graduating or moving home for the summer, and you're going to navigate the transition of what does it look like to be in a new space. Some of you are staying in this area, and you're watching your friends leave. And so you're navigating what does it look like to be here, but to have my community and my people change. And so today we're just going to be asking, what does it look like to transition well?
Yeah. And part of the hardest part of transition, and we'll just jump right in it, is just the emotions of it.
All of them.
It is. There's such a... I've met with a handful of people graduating. And graduation, I think, is just the epitome of... It's just such a summative moment of the closing of a chapter, get the starting of something new. And there is both the unbelievable joy of maybe never taking a final again. There is the excitement of all the possibilities that are ahead of you. If you have a job lined up, if you're moving cities, there's just... And then there is the grief of saying goodbye and closing the book on... Or closing the cover of that book, like just being able to wrap something up, to say goodbye to either this community or friends, or, and that is the polar extremes of transition.
I think in 18 months, I lived in 4 states, and I'm really glad that this summer I'm not moving. It's the first summer in 6 years I've not moved across the country. And so saying goodbye and transitioning has been something I've done a lot, and it's exhausting to do frequently. But I've learned that there's usually 2 types of transitions, in which there's one where, like, you're just so thankful that you're grieving because it meant that you cherish something so valuable.
Yeah.
And then there's the other transition where it's like you're not really glad you're grieving. There's pain involved, and you know that you're probably going to a better place, but maybe it was a surprise. Maybe you're just leaving something behind that's really hard. And so, yeah, there's just all these emotions of, like, the polars, opposites of the grief to the joy that you can go through.
Yeah, that's insightful, because it's not always happy as you close it. Sometimes it's a hard chapter, and transitioning is the joy of going to something new rather than the joy of remembering what was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the polar, right? It's both and all of it. It's never just one.
Yeah.
Because there is a leaving and a going, usually.
That's well, involved. And we do a lot of premarital. Emily, we're going to get her in on some of this action eventually, but...
Congratulations.
Thank you.
But, like, part of that is it's really complicated, even in a season like that, when I meet with couples and there is this polar emotion of such excitement to join your life together, to be married, to become one, to explore all that God has for you in marriage. Yet couples often feel guilty that they have this sense of grief as they lose their autonomy, as singleness goes away, as they lose some of their freedom, as they transition from their roommates and their place and their stuff to a new... And they're just like, I don't know what to do with these emotions. And it's like, well, that's just transition. Like, the fact that you have something that is so exciting but also has some grief doesn't mean that you're not doing the right thing.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that you shouldn't get married. Like, this is what it means to transition from one thing to another.
Yeah, that's really good.
So as we think about what it looks like to end well, what are just a few practical things we can do?
Feel all the feelings.
Yeah.
Like, acknowledge what you're feeling. Don't be afraid to feel the feelings. Don't push them down. Don't hide them. Don't judge, kill yourself because you may be feeling sadness over leaving something or going, whatever you're going into. Maybe you're not ready, prepared for what's next. Just feel all the feelings. It's complex. Allow it to be complex. it's okay. Like what you're feeling is real and good and not bad. So don't be afraid to feel it.
And we've talked some of this as podcasts is both people going through it and people walking alongside people going through it. If you're one of the people not in the midst of the messiness of emotions, help other people acknowledge it. Give them permission and space to be able to feel all the feelings. Let them be happy. Let them be sad. Coach them into those things. Because that's what we need sometimes is we just need permission to feel all the feelings.
Yeah.
I think one of the most helpful things with me in leaving and starting new places was people that just came alongside me and just sat with me and just allowed me to be confused, like allowed me to be incredibly sad and incredibly excited at the same time.
Well, and I think there's this temptation in transition when something's coming to an end. It's like, we'll just ignore it. We'll hit it real quick and I'll jump into the next thing and we'll act like it never happened. Mm-hmm. And what you do when you do that is you actually rob yourself of the joy of the next thing because you didn't finish the last thing well. Like if you leap into a new season without closing the chapter of what was before, you have all of this unfinished emotion, all of this unfiltered, unprocessed feeling and experience that now you carry with you into this next space that will hamper you down and weigh you down as you try to live into what that next thing is for you. And so we think ignorance is bliss. And if I can just get through this and ignore it, if I can just graduate and be happy the whole time, I'll just eventually process the things. But you don't. You just get sucked into the next thing and you carry that weight and it just weighs you down as you move. So you have to stop and acknowledge it. Ignorance or skipping over it is not a good option in the midst of transition.
Yeah. We've talked about it, I think, in a podcast a while ago, but I'm very conflict avoidant. Mm. And one of the things I've learned is that saying goodbye really matters, especially for my own health when I leave. Because if I don't say goodbye to people that maybe I didn't have a great relationship with, I'm actually going to carry that with me because I didn't get closure. Like I didn't get the chance to say like this chapter is ending. Like our relationship from here on out is going to look different because I'm moving. And those opportunities, though they were really hard, have been so helpful now that I'm here because I get to look back and I get to know that, no, I did everything I could to end this well and to end it on a good note. And I don't have to carry baggage of like, oh, this didn't go so great.
Mm-hmm. This morning at one of our staff meetings, someone said the phrase that there's times where you have to have a funeral for something and then move on. And at the end of something, you got to be able to, what a funeral is it's a moment of celebration and remembering. And as awful as funerals are, if you've ever been to one, if you ever have to go to one, like they are not fun by any means to show up and to grieve publicly, to grieve corporately, if someone does the open casket, to see them in the casket, to have just people around weeping and to walk into like a heavy, somber place. Like there's nothing fun about funerals, yet they're important.
Yeah,
because it's a moment for us to process. It's a moment for us to acknowledge and say goodbye. There is this closure moment of a funeral where when you don't have that, like I know I've heard stories of people in COVID who didn't get those opportunities and how that grief extended itself, how that lack of closure just ate away at them until they could have that moment. And so even in some of this, it's like you're saying, that opportunity to say goodbye to a bad situation or to say goodbye even to a good situation is closure for you, even if it's not fun.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. And it's rarely fun.
No.
It's not fun, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. So embrace that. And closure and saying goodbye doesn't mean the end. Mm-hmm. It a lot of times for me, and as I look back in the last, 16 years of ministry, we've moved twice in the last 10 years from different situations. And the goodbye moments were opportunities for us to have conversation. The closure was the importance of having those relationship conversations saying, this is just going to look different now. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And giving each other, making sure we're on the same page of giving each other permission of the depth of friendship that was really great here is going to change.
Yeah.
And I'm sad about that. And that's okay. And making sure but then the other end too of the negative aspects of relationship. Like I need to make sure to have this conversation. If there's an open ended conflict that you think you're going to take and with you as you leave, you need to somehow address it before you go. So it is the both hand, but I don't know, for me, it's been giving myself permission to know, like in saying goodbye, I'm saying this relationship is going to be different and that's okay.
When I think even what you're acknowledging, what you're doing is you're helping other people process the transition as well. Because in selfishness, we can look at this and we can say, okay, how do I end well? but recognizing that you're a communal being, a part of a community in relationship with other people, is it's not just you ending well. It's you in connection to all of what you've built at the in the place you're transitioning from. And so part of me even thinks that the transition moment you and I had when you were stepping away from the Oasis job because you were kind of getting a little old and like all
super
the
old.
All the things like that,
just
right?
Keep getting older.
No, but there was this transition moment where Ben came up on stage and it was the first Oasis of the year and I came up and we had this prayer moment. We had this kind of, but it was a chance for you to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And to coach our people of why you were leaving and what that next transition was like and what your relationship to them would be like going forward.
Because
it wasn't that I'm never going to see you again.
Yep.
It's not, I no longer care about this ministry. Mm-hmm. It's my role is changing. I'm transitioning into something new. And here's how I'm still going to be able to be present with you guys. Yep. And that's what's so vital for the other people. It gave them such grace to say, yeah, it's new. It's different. We got to figure out this whole Brennan guy. It's he's not that, you know, like all this stuff. But they also got to say, Ben's still here.
Yeah.
And it's different, but he's still, and that I think gave a lot of closure to our people in that season.
And it was kind because it was clear. Like it set clear expectations and I think it's great.
Yeah. I think what got me in trouble when I was 23 moving from Brookings to Minneapolis with Abby and even the year before, like saying goodbye to friends, is we almost overpromised because we didn't really actually know what we were stepping into in the transition season. So we thought in our heads, it's like,
it's going to be
the
same.
The relationship's going to be the same. Mm-hmm. We're going to be connected all the time. And we weren't. And some people do that well. Mm-hmm. I am not that kind of personality. Yeah. Proximity is insanely important for me. And so I think that's why I say that too, is it's be kind and clear in your expectations. Don't overpromise that which you don't know you can deliver.
I've had to, because people want that of you. I've had to check people in that too, where I've had relationships. I mean, I've been in Brookings for a long time. In Brookings, I've had a friend say it's often a stop for people. It's not really a stay. They come here for a season and they leave. And so when you're like someone at the table here, we're here for a longer period of time. And so we see a lot of people come and go.
Yeah.
And so as they've let me know, like I'm seeing a lot of our leaders from Oasis transition right now. And I've told them, I say, hey, what do you want from me? What do you need from me as you step into your next thing? And there's people who will go, hey, like just relationship and connection. And I've told them, I said, okay, I'll let you know right now. I'm not going to reach out to you consistently.
That's good.
And some of them are like, because like right now I do, right? I have that connection and that relationship. But I've let them know there's clear expectation is I can't carry that weight. I have a new group of leaders coming in, new people who need my attention and who need my focus. And so I'm here for you. But if you want this relationship to continue, you're going to have to carry some of the burden of that. And there's moments where they're like, oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
But now I know. And so even in that, like, it's hard. You sometimes have to check it on other people.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
What does it look like to prayerfully consider how we end and how we begin in a transition?
One of the things that I find so beautiful about prayer is prayer shifts my perspective. It does. When I'm ending something, I can get so sucked up the feelings that we're telling you to acknowledge, but you can't just stay in them. Feel them, acknowledge them, process them with people, and then bring them into the safety of your Heavenly Father and say, God, what do you want from these? Like, why do I experience these? And hopefully what he does is he gives you a refined perspective to be able to process those emotions in the best way. He gives you clear perspective of what he's doing in the midst of those emotions. He gives you a renewed sense of call in that perspective, knowing what he's doing on the other side of that. And so really, it just gives me a fresh, renewed sense of perspective. I often walk away from moments of prayer where I just process my feelings with way more peace. I come in clouded. I come in burdened and heavy. I come in trying to figure out all that life is throwing at me. And I walk away a lot of times saying, okay, I see what God's doing here, and I see what he's doing here, and I understand why I feel that, and I feel that. And so those moments for me when I find peace and perspective from prayer, they're vital in all life, but especially transition.
Yeah, for sure. I think even when that happens, you hopefully are reminded that in both whether you're staying or going and the leaving and start like stopping something and starting something new, you get reminded. Like I think a part of prayer for me is, yes, perspective. It's the provision continually of the presence of God in the midst of those moments, which gives me the peace.
Yeah.
And so I think prayer is helpful in that aspect for perspective. For me too, it's like there has to be aspects where you have to prayerfully consider which relationships you need to be really more intentional with in that season of transition versus others. Not all goodbyes have to look the same, and that's okay. Give your permission for that, but be prayerful in that. I think sometimes we just jump to, I'm assuming this, or need to say goodbye in a certain way in this relationship. The other way too, and this is a little bit different probably from the question, but something I want to talk about just in case I don't remember because it's in my head right now. I think people want to disengage from the rhythms that they're in knowing they're going to be leaving. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's always healthy.
Okay.
I've had many people ask and say, I'm 2 months away from being gone. There's been this new opportunity for relationship or for something, for service, for something to step into, but I'm afraid to because then I'm just going to be leaving. Like, am I wasting my time?
Yeah.
I don't think it's an ever a waste of time to faithfully step into an opportunity to point someone to Jesus, to walk alongside with someone, to encourage someone, mm-hmm. set up the healthy expectation of I'm going to be going.
Yeah.
But I think we just disengage too quickly because we're leaving mm-hmm. and we miss out on opportunities where God's at work, where he wants to continue to use you.
So good.
He's not done.
Yeah. Yeah, he still has things for you
still.
Here. Yeah. And it might not look exactly like what you thought. It can't be the 1 year contract that you would maybe hope for, but that doesn't mean it's not.
Yeah.
There's not fruit in it for God's kingdom.
After I finished grad school, I had like 8 different backup plans for my life and all of them failed. And I was just like, God, this is ridiculous. And I was just like, I'm a grad student that went to go live back in my parents' basement unemployed. And I was like, that's the last thing
shout
I ever
humility.
Expected.
What?
Oh, yeah. God did a number on me. But I remember just like, I knew I was going to have to go back home. And I just remember praying through it and asking God, like, I don't want to be in this season. This is just a terrible plan that you have for me right now. And I don't understand what you're doing here. And I just started asking the question, God, why am I here? And what are you doing in this space? And how am I called to participate in that? And it, one, like, showed me humility. Like, I had to surrender and trust that God knew better, even when I didn't think he did. But it also just showed me that, like, those seasons aren't a waste. I ended up getting a job at a YMCA, and I just sit and watch old people swim and work with lifeguards who didn't know who Jesus was.
Yeah.
And, like, we just talk about who God is. And I just got to see God do so many amazing things. And I think just like my encouragement for people who are about to experience a transition they don't want to experience is to just trust that God has a purpose for you, even if it's something really small, like watching old people at a YMCA.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's good.
And I think that is a great transition into how do we start the next thing well? Because as you're in the midst of ending something or in that transition season, like for you, you knew you probably weren't going to be there long term, but you still were asking the question right here, well, I don't have clarity. What am I supposed to do? But then when you get to your new place and when you're onto the new thing, continue to just ask the question why. Then when we can activate our action by our purpose, like when we can connect what we're doing with why we're doing it, anytime those things can connect, there is such flourishing that can happen. When you are reminded and you prayerfully ask God in your new season, why am I at this job? Why am I in this city? Why am I in that relationship? Those, the clarity God can bring you in that is such a gift because it will help you to just dive into that sense of calling to be able to give your whole self to this new place that you're at.
Yeah, and even there, it's a desire for healthy clarity.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, because what we want sometimes is clarity. If I want to know exactly what's going to happen when I get there versus the God, why are you calling me there? So good.
Yeah.
I think that's so good. Paul, as he, in Acts 20, going to Jerusalem, like compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me there. But he set a purpose because he ends, he goes, but I know my task is to complete and finish the race that's been set before me. Mm-hmm. And so he had a clear calling and understanding and clarity, even though he didn't know fully what was going to come.
Yeah. And I don't think I said this on the podcast. I think I said it in a meeting we were in. But lately, in the last probably 3 to 4 months, God has been running this idea through my head that oftentimes Christians today treat clarity like an idol. Because we covet and we desire so bad clarity, but we forget that God often doesn't provide clarity because what he wants for you is to trust him and to have faith that he's going to. And when we get clarity, it removes God from the picture and it says, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know why I'm in this space. But oftentimes God leaves clouded clarity or he leaves some sense of unclarity because he wants you to continue to walk by faith, having him lead you every step of the way.
Yep.
And so when I've almost exclusively stopped praying for clarity for people when they ask like, hey, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if I'm supposed to be in this relationship. Mm-hmm. Like I pray, Lord, would you help them discern alongside you rather than Lord, would you give them clarity? Because I just don't think clarity is the gift we think it is all the time.
Yeah, I pray both. One of my favorite prayers is, God, would you bring clarity here? And when there's not clarity, would you give them the faith and trust to know that you're in the process?
Yeah,
that's good.
God, if God wants to provide clarity, don't let me stand in the way, for sure.
Yep.
But when clarity's not there,
trust.
I think we got to stop thinking that's a burden.
No,
and this so is good. And God is absent. Yeah. Maybe that's God's kindness in your life to grow in your relationship with Him.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that people are really important when it comes to transitions. How do we balance the people that we're leaving and then the new community we get to have in this new place?
We've hit it a little bit, but you have to be able to recognize what your relationships and what those relationships are going to mean from you in the past. So for me, at one point, I was just like, Ben, we all are like, what's the, not uneducated, but like
naive.
Yeah, there you go. Naive. Sure. We're all naive that we're just going to be able to continue the status quo forever and ever and ever again. And we never want the relationships in our life that we have right now to ever end.
Yeah.
And it's like almost if they end, then they weren't worth it. They were wasted. But that's just not how God works. So you have to take a second. You have to sit back and say, what are those relationships going to be? Yeah. And then as you step into a new community to find your people, for me, the biggest thing is I had to release so many of the expectations I had on what community would be.
Yep.
Like community for me had always looked one way. It had always been this type of people with this sense of humor, with this type of gifting, with this type of charisma, with this type of look. And for the first time in my life, I was like, God, I think you're asking me to surrender all that and find community that is different.
Yeah.
And the second that clicked for me, I no longer started looking for this mold in which I was trying to shove people into. I asked God, who are the people here who can love me deeply and I can love them back?
Yep.
And that's when God started placing all these people in my life. And many of them do not look anything like I would have expected. Mm-hmm. Yet they're some of my most faithful, committed friendships that I have.
I love you too.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. That's so cute. It's awesome.
I didn't say it.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet. Yeah.
I got to get better at pickleball first.
Yes, true. No. You honestly, for not having played very much, you do a pretty good job.
Crushing life.
Mm-hmm.
It's because she's a runner.
You probably played paddle sports before, though, haven't you? See, that's the key. When someone says, should I play pickleball? I always say, have you ever played ping pong? Have you ever played tennis? If you've played either of those, pickleball for you is going to be a breeze. If you've never played a paddle sport ever in your life, you are going to be atrocious. It's hard.
Fair.
But if you've played ping pong or tennis.
How much ping pong should I have had played?
You know, just enough to know, like, this is how I use a paddle.
Okay. Perfect.
That's it.
Now I'm going to get into pickleball.
So there's a nice side tangent. If you want to play pickleball, DM me on Instagram. I would love to play any day of the week, anytime. Just let me know.
That he's available.
That I'm available. Right. But I can make myself available pretty frequently.
That's good.
What does it look like to make sure that we have like those non-negotiable rhythms of our life in place during times of transition?
Yeah, I think no one needs to be priority in the non-negotiable rhythms, like a healthy community of other believers, like make that a part of your rhythm. So what that looks like, know that they may take time to figure out. Yeah, finding a church, all those things. But also what is good for you in your own soul? What is restful for you in your own soul based off your personality and who you are? I think make sure those, there's a language of like control you can control. And even in that, hold everything loosely except Jesus. And so try to create rhythms as you go into the next season, because the rhythms will get you through tough seasons and moments of where there's no clarity or confusion.
Yes.
But it's making sure you're putting in the right things first in those rhythms, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can look at examples and I'm sure you can feel it in your own life. It's not the transition that will take you down.
Yeah.
It's the transition which corrupts or harms or even takes away all of the other stable things you had in your life. That's what will take people down. It's not that you moved from Brookings to Sioux Falls.
Yes.
It's you moved from Brookings to Sioux Falls. You lost your closest friends.
Yep.
You no longer attend church. You're not a part of a small group. You're not reading your Bible. You don't have prayer. You're not resting well. Like, that's what takes people. And it's like all of a sudden it's like, man, this transition killed me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, it was hard and it threw you off, but it's the fact that you threw out or you lost so much of what made you healthy that's now made you sick.
Yep.
I think that goes back to like prayerfully preparing. I think God will let us know like what we need in our life in order for us to continually find ways to walk in obedience with Him.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it looked different for us when we moved to Minneapolis. Abby, had gotten into grad school, and she found insanely close friends in grad school. Once she had to, because so much of her time was taken up with grad school, where I didn't have that, so I had to be really intentional with that. But it was in a season where it's like, It's something for me that comes a little more naturally in building relationships and being intentional, where for Abby it doesn't. So it's an enjoyable season because she was gifted that with grad school, where I had to be really intentional and moving forward, knowing like that's been the thing for me everywhere I've gone is those relationships. Yeah. And not like it's what you said, not having the expectations that I had in the previous relationships and moving forward in that. But also, especially at least for us, for me and Ab in marriage, it's like the weekly date night of something. So like when we moved down here, and I moved down here in June of 2019, and Abby moved in December or in September of 2019. A lot of that was daycare and work and all the things. It was in those seasons, and those were like the weekly date night of connection for me and her, making sure that that rhythm stayed, even in the midst of entering something different. And new. But like you said, God will show you, usually. And that's where even going back to, if you have close friends in the midst of transition, asking them to, what do you know about me that I need that I'm not seeing in myself? Because sometimes we can't see it.
For sure. And brings me back to this idea. So I already mentioned the transition you and I had from when you left. That, from the outside looking in, it looked like this is one moment of transition where Ben is stepping away and Brennan's stepping in. But what really happened is I had 4 months of transition as we stepped into that. So did you. Mm-hmm. Then we had almost a year of transition afterwards. And that whole season was hard.
Yeah.
And I think back, what helped me get through a really hard season of transition? And I've told people over and over, the reason I survived that was because I had Sabbath. So much in my life, from what I did at work to the relationships I had to like just the way I was trying to give myself to different, so much was changing. Yet I had this bedrock idea that every single Saturday, from Friday night until Saturday night, from dinner to dinner, I had 24 hours where I was going to rest in God's presence. And that saved me through that transition. And so even some of that is just what's maybe even one keystone, cornerstone spiritual habit that you can cling to when everything else, when you're still trying to find a church and you're still trying to build a community and you're still trying to get plugged in a small group and you're still trying to find your place to serve. Like, what's something you can cling to that it's been helpful for you in a past season? It can be good for you now.
How do we keep going in that? Like, how do we have the realistic expectation that transition isn't just the 3 days it takes you to move from Brookings to Sioux Falls?
Yeah.
Like, it's a process. How do we have patience in that?
Yeah, you have to allow yourself to fail. Mm-hmm. You got to let it be messy. You got to let it be longer than you think it's going to be and be really okay with that, that it doesn't just come and go and it's not just a blink, like you said. And when you fail in the midst of transition, it's not giving up on yourself and it's not giving up on the patterns and habits you've created. Craig Rochelle, he has a new book. It's called The Power of Change, The Power to Change, something like that. I think it's got like 12 titles. Craig always be doing crazy stuff with him. But one of the ideas he has in there is he says plan to fail. And it's one of his key ideas. And so planning to fail steps up and recognizes you're going to fail, but do you have a plan on the other side of that failure? Mm. So when you fail once, that's a mistake. When you fail repeatedly, that's a pattern. And his challenge to people is mistakes happen. Don't let mistakes become patterns. You miss a Sabbath, it happens, right? It happens. Life happens. Next week, double down. Don't miss it again. You miss a quiet time, right? It happens. You got busy days. The next day, double down. Don't miss it again. Because one time's a mistake, multiple times is a pattern. And we really want to avoid harmful patterns.
Mm, that's good. Yeah, I think what's helped me persevere in the midst of transition is being reminded that what God provided for me and what I needed in the past, He will continue to provide for me in the future. And so it's in that for me is an encouragement to know, it's like, keep pressing in.
Yeah. Remember,
keep stepping in.
I think too, there's like a sense of grace to extend to ourselves, but that shouldn't excuse us from the things that need to be done.
Yeah. It's good. That balance. Mm-hmm. Not always going to get it right, but you got to be diligent in the things you know you need to do.
Do not give up on doing good.
Yep. For sure. All right.
Well, we're signing off for the summer.
We're just transitioning. This is the end. Can I spend a moment just praying?
Please.
Yeah.
Father, thank you for this podcast in the last semester that it's been, being able to record these episodes, and we pray they've been helpful for people. We also just pray for people in seasons of transition, whether they're college students graduating or college students moving to summer or young adults just transitioning from one community or one job to a next. We know life is full of these transition moments, yet you are not... ignorant to those. You are close to us in hardship. And so right now, would you be close to those who are battling through just the high emotions of transition? Would you give them peace in the hardship? Would you give them just exuding joy in the celebratory moments? Would you surround them with community? And would you remind them of the habits and the things you've called them into that can help support them in moments of transition? We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace out.